Thank you, John, for those two readings. As I sat there, I'd rather be preaching on the second reading today, but sorry, I prepared the psalm. So, they're such great readings. Well, we're in the third of our series on the Psalms, and this morning we're looking at Psalm 23. I'm going to take a sort of an unusual approach to it, because I want to begin by asking, do you want a particular animal? Now, it's a curious thing. Individuals, groups, and even nations often identify with their own particular animal that resonates with them. Australia, of course, is the kangaroo. The United States, it's the bald eagle. For Russia, it's the brown bear. For the United Kingdom, it's a lion. If you're English, it's usually the bull. I don't know, sporting teams choose animals as well to represent them. It can be a bulldog or a panther or an eagle or whatever. And individuals basically do that as well. And sometimes somebody may even ask you, is there an animal that you particularly resonate with? And this up, I found that the most common ones were lions, tigers, wolves, horses, dolphins, and so on and so on. It's interesting that these animals have usually a very strong feature. Maybe that they themselves are physically strong or ferocious, or it may be that they're fast or some other character. Now, the Bible tells us that we have an animal symbol too. It's not the fish that most people think of. That's certainly a Christian symbol, a biblical symbol for people. The sheep. I don't know about you and me, but choose an animal that resonates with you. Choose a sheep. I said for an eagle. Imagine hovering up there, being able to see the things that are before you. But the Bible says, no, this is the significant symbol for God's people. And as you go through both the Old and the New Testament, there are many references to the people of God as sheep. And I've drawn out a few just to sort of underline this thing. In Psalm 100, the psalmist tells us that God made us, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Or Isaiah 53, that very well-known verse, for we all like sheep of us has turned his own way. Or in Jeremiah, God speaking again, my people are like sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. And when you come to the New Testament, read from us from John's Gospel, this morning, there was a reference in Matthew 9. Matthew talking about Jesus said, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. 1 Peter 2, Peter speaking to God's people says, you were straying like sheep, but you've now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So why sheep? Well, this morning I'm looking 23 and explains why Christian people are identified with sheep. There are other passages in the Bible explain this, but this psalm makes it clear because of the way we are to see and relate to our God. There are two strong images, two pictures of the Lord, of God himself in the psalm, a shepherd and a host of a banquet. The first verse of the psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, or as other versions put it, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, sums up the key idea of the psalm. The rest of the verses fill this out. The host doesn't sit in opposition to that, actually part of that same image. The idea of the Lord emphasizing good provision for his people. Now, before I look at the shepherd imagery, which is the main thing, I want to talk about sheep. Because a sheep wrote this psalm. A sheep wrote this psalm. That was King David. King David is a sheep. That's how he saw himself. Can you imagine? The mighty ruler of Israel, to whom all the people in Israel have to turn their attention, have to obey him, and yet when in regard to the Lord, he says, I am a sheep, dependent upon the shepherd. And there he sets out the example for us. So what a sheep? Well, although I've been a city person all my life, my father's family, both on his mother and father's side, were pastoralists who raised sheep. And I still have relatives who have sheep for fine wool. Now, I don't speak as an expert because I always thought sheep were quite dumb. But as I looked and talked to people about sheep and relatives, I found some interesting things. They're social animals. They like to get together. In fact, if a sheep gets isolated from the mob or from the flock, they become quite distressed. And that adds another perspective to the parable of the lost sheep, doesn't it? And while sheep are social, some research does suggest that they actually prefer their own subgrouping. They like to be with merinos, Dorsets like to be with Dorsets, and so on. And if you actually mix them up, they may even separate into groups. Quite fascinating. It says something about human beings, doesn't it? That we are like sheep. Of course, rams are very aggressive. I remember a cousin of mine getting headbutted in a yard one day when he was 5, and he crossed the yard. And I learned, never get into a yard with a ram. I was 5 as well. And of course, if you get between a ewe and a lamb, boy, watch out, because they can be aggressive as well. There's lots more about sheep. Some of the curious resonance with us as human beings. You see this in some of the similes and metaphors that people use with people. You can be gentle as a lamb, or in the way that anyone who leads you, or some people are described as sheepish, and I can go on and on about that, but I won't. Two things are essential for sheep: provision and protection. Provision and protection. Provision, good pasture and adequate water. Without that, they weaken and die. And in times of drought and distress, I've seen those distressing images of dying or dead sheep at a dried up water source or an empty feed trough. Just like us, sheep need ongoing provision. And secondly, sheep need protection from things that harm them, whether within, such as parasites or disease, or from without, predators like dogs, in some cases wolves in other countries, and so on. And throughout this psalm, you see these two things: the need that sheep have for provision and protection. In David's time, he needed a shepherd. It's not in Australia, it's still true in the world where sheep aren't fenced in, and therefore they're reliant upon the shepherd to look after them. And so I want to now turn to look at the shepherd, because this is the key idea of this psalm. Now, the image of a shepherd is a rich and complex feature of Israelite culture. You see that all the way through the Bible. The shepherd was responsible for the provision and protection of the flock. He took them to pasture. He ensured that supply of water. He protected them from predators. And we know that David spoke about how he defended his flock from beasts that would attack them. And this image, or this pastoral image, has a great resonance with Israel beyond everyday boundary. It was a picture of explaining the relationship of God with his own covenant people, the people of Israel. And God was the shepherd of Israel. And David understood that he himself was the under-shepherd acting on God's behalf for the people. But God was in fact the shepherd. Psalm 95 reminds us, he is our God and we are the flock under his care. And so important was this image that anyone who held a responsible position in Israel, whether it be the king or priests or prophets, reminded by God that their job, their responsibility, was to shepherd his people. Those of us who are ordained, when we are ordained, Ben or Greg or me, we actually promise that if we're put in a pastoral, a ministry setting, we will care for God's people as an under-shepherd for God. Okay, so you need to pray, particularly Ben, he would be able to fulfill that role. Provision and protection. So what about the psalm? Well, it starts, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when I read that statement, as someone who lives this side of the cross, my mind goes to John 10. And those beautiful words of Jesus, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I don't know if you ever looked at the window here. I think it's a very apt window, because it says, "The good shepherd." And it reminds us visually as we come into this building that there is one who is our shepherd in all aspects of life. It's a visual symbol. And I thought, thank you Herb put that there originally because it fits nicely in with what I'm talking about this morning. In John 10, as Myrtle read, I love the way that Jesus talks about his relationship with his sheep, his followers, and how he fills out the metaphor of being a shepherd. He says he calls his own sheep by name, and they follow him because they know his voice. Indeed, Jesus says his sheep know him, they just not know about him, they know him in an intimate and personal way. And this came home to me because we had a dog go into medical attention this week, and I had to pick her up yesterday. And she was brought on a trolley. Never seen that before. But as soon as she saw me, head goes up. She knew me. She didn't know those other people who were looking after her, but me she knew. And she knew my voice. And so she wanted to get off. She knew me. Jesus knows his people in the same way, and his people know him. They know his voice. They know he loves them. They know that they belong to him. It's a beautiful picture of the shepherd here, of going out ahead of the sheep, of leading them in and out of the situation that they are in, of his genuine care for the sheep, their trust in him, trust for pasture, trust for safety, trust for life itself. And what follows in verses 2 to 4 fill out the sheep metaphor. We hear David, who as a youth was a shepherd, on the needs of the sheep, is meeting those needs. Green pastures, emphasizing the idea of nourishment and abundance. By the shepherd, we are provided with what we need. Of course, as the sheep in the Lord's flock, not just with the ordinary things of life, which he does provide for us, but we're fed by his word that sustains us, shapes us, so that we thrive as Jesus' people. And the verse when he speaks of his provision for us, quiet waters speaks of peace and security that are ours at the Lord as the Lord's sheep. We read he restores or refreshes our souls, which may be a picture of sheep straying but being brought back, which would certainly fit the shepherd metaphor. And the term my soul normally means my life or myself, and some sense of renewal of experience. And so what we see here is a double image of straying sheep brought back and being restored and refreshed by this shepherd who rescued them. Refreshment that continues, as David reminds us in the words of the psalm. And just as the sheep need to be guided along the right and safe path, so too God's people. Right paths that lead us into the right way of godliness. And note here it's the shepherd in these right paths. It is through his word and spirit working his word in us for his name's sake. The care and protection of the psalmist is not only for the psalmist's sake, it's there, but for the sake of the Lord himself. For as people see how God cares for his people, they recognize here is a God who must be taken account of. Verse 4 reminds us of the extent of God's care for his people. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Some translations render the valley the shadow of death. And these psalm, and particularly those words, are often used at funerals, and I've used them in funerals, because it's a great comfort to Christian people to be reminded God is with them, even the valley of the shadow of death. And they sustain David, and they sustain generations of believers. Some interesting words here that I found from John Calvin, the Reformer. This is what he said about that verse, the shadow of death. And I'm quoting him. Believers, although they dwell safely under the protection of God, standing exposed to men, or rather, to all the afflictions which befall people in common, that they may feel much better in their need of the protection of God. David here expressly declares that if any adversity should befall him, he would lean upon God's care. As a sheep, when it wanders up and down through a valley from attack and from harm in other ways by the presence of the shepherd alone, so now David declares that as often as he is exposed to any danger, he will have sufficient defence and protection because God cares. He will bring us safely home to our eternal rest. And then in the last couple of verses, he switches from shepherd to host. And the psalmist says the Lord treats him, that is the psalmist, as an honoured guest. And guests, if they were honoured, with olive oil and some fragrance, beautiful scent. And you'll remember that in this time, he actually berated Simon the Pharisee because he went to have a meal with him and Simon did not anoint Jesus as his guest. That was a sense of dishonor that he didn't. With the Lord as his shepherd host, David is confident that we will be treated like honored guests by him. He understands that he'll be the Lord's guest forever. One more thing needs to be said about the shepherd before I turn to my last point. As we understand the Lord of the Lord as my shepherd, we acknowledge that Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he's not the Good Shepherd, but he knows what it's like. And that's what makes him so. He's only the Good Shepherd. He knows what it's like to be a sheep. He knows our needs. He's felt hungry. He's felt sadness. He's felt tiredness. He understands when he is tempted, although he never gave temptation. He understands the human condition. He understands what we're going through. And he says, I'll be with you every step of the way as your shepherd. Death itself. If you've noticed in this image behind me, the shepherd is holding one lamb. It's a first-person confession by David. It focuses on the shepherd's care for him. And that makes it both strong and forceful. As before, it's certainly true of us collectively, but here markedly exposes us individually in terms of our trust in the Good Shepherd. You see, David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. What he's telling us is this is his faith position. And therefore, what is that true as well? Okay? It's a psalm which provides great comfort. We can see that. The imagery is just delightful as you read it. And for many people, and I know that there are people here, this will be their favorite psalm. It's a psalm they can say by because it's significant as Christian people. But what it does is set out for us God's loving, providential care for his people, and it says, do you know the Lord as your shepherd in this way? Are you like David? Is this a psalm that you can say for yourself and hope it's true for others as well? Because if you know that, you know that you're secure in him. You know that you understand who he is. You've committed yourself to him. He knows you intimately. That like the shepherd of the sheep, you hear his voice. You respond because of his tender care for you. See, if we're one of the sheep, attractive in our secular society today, but if we see ourselves as sheep, we are indeed very blessed. For our shepherd's the Good Shepherd, who loves us, as John 10 reminds us, who loves us to death, laying down his life for us so that we could be saved. And therefore, as we read this psalm, we go, yes, that's my shepherd. That's my leader. That's my Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you worked in David's life, for bringing to the realization that you are his shepherd. Thank you for inspiring him to write this psalm. And thank you for the way this psalm has been so precious to your people across the generations. We thank you that as we open it, we can see not only how it impacted David, but we see the invitation to see you in the same way and to commit ourselves to you as sheep, to you as shepherd. Help us every day to remember that you are a God who cares for us, who knows us, who leads us, who has us with him forever. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.